Thanks be to God for that gift. There is none like you. A fitting way for us to think about Hannah's words this morning, her prayer of joy and resistance and hope and justice. Now, I want to remind you, for those who have joined us a little bit later in the service, that I do want to give you a moment to pick up a notebook, some scratch paper, pen, pencils, a way to write. Maybe you even want to do it on your tablet or on a little notepad or notebook or something on your computer. Because at the end of my message, we'll have a time of meditation where I'll ask you to do something creative, something different, something special this morning that may just help you find words for where you are and what you need God to do in your life. So get those ready at any moment as we center ourselves once again and offer a prayer to our God. Will you pray with me? Oh, gracious and loving God, there is none like you, you who stand for justice, you who hold us to account, you who love us and nurture us, offer us forgiveness and healing. There is none like you. So now, as we explore Hannah's prayer from so long ago, as we reflect on Scripture and our lives and who we know you to be, may your Spirit move in such a way that we leave this time renewed and transformed to do your work and your will. Speak to us, O God, and use us. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. This past week, for those of you who had a chance to watch the inauguration or maybe caught glimpses of it, we were reminded of the power of words. Words matter, don't they? At the inauguration this past week for a new presidential administration, though it was a bit subdued due to the violence and chaos of last week's insurrection attempt storming of the Capitol, one of the closing voices was young poet laureate Amanda Gorman. I noticed how many of you were really moved by her presence and her poetry as she shared a poem that she had written. It went viral, in fact, and so many people were sharing it and reflecting on the power of her words. It was truly a moment of black excellence for the Harvard University graduate as she shared with us, with the country, which she is honored to be a part of, a vision of a more perfect union. Here's a taste. And of course, I can't do it in her style, but I'll do my best. We are striving to forge a union with purpose, to compose a country committed to all cultures, colors, characters, and conditions of man. And so we lift our gazes not to what stands between us, but what stands before us. We close the divide because we know to put our future first, we must first put our differences aside. We lay down our arms so we can reach out our arms to one another. Now, I admit I am not much of a poetry guy, but I do have deep respect for poets and their ability to craft lyrical excellence and spin worlds out of words, exposing to us the power of silence and even a well-placed pause to make room for the Spirit's sighing. Well done, Amanda Gorman, for gifting this country with words that spoke to your love, your dream, and your experience as a young black woman and leader of what is and what still could be in this fragile nation of ours. Ultimately, as we continue in this series on prayers for our new year, it is timely to be reminded that there is power in language, in the words we use to speak to each other and especially to God and about God. Sure, there are times in our lives when we will pray without words, with groans and sighs only understood by our God who weeps alongside us. Some of you are in that place even right now. And there are moments when we are new to Christian faith or do not know what to say, so we can be thankful for the Lord's Prayer or Psalm 23 for providing imagery and guidance for our words to come out and offer love and comfort at a difficult time. I think, however, God particularly delights when our prayers are truly our own, when our prayer rises out of our own experiences, our own perspective, shaped by the family we grew up with, the language we might have heard first spoken at home, and our encounters and understandings of God at work in our lives. Amanda Gorman's poem spoke to us because it resonated from her life and her perspective as a young black woman in a country that isn't broken, but simply unfinished. What happens when we dare, in our own journey with God, to speak our own prayers out of the wells of joy, sadness, gratitude, and longing from our own perspectives and experiences? What if we offered to God our own, the prayer like Hannah's in our own words? In our passage today, we are introduced to Hannah, a remarkable woman of God, who speaks this incredibly powerful prayer that rings with exaltation and richness from her own experience. It is a prayer that has been passed down to us through the Jewish tradition, through the history of Israel and how Israel came to be as a people and as a kingdom, and through the Old Testament. And it's a prayer that continues to reaffirm the power that can come out of our lips when we are open to God's enormous possibilities for our world and our lives. Who is Hannah? That's a good place to start, right? Hannah is a faithful woman of God. First, whose life was troubled. She was happily married to a man named Elkanah, but despite years of trying to conceive, Hannah struggled with infertility. Just like for many women, this weighed deeply on her, especially when you think about all the pressures of society and culture throughout history that have made a motherhood the key marker for what it means to be a woman. But it weighed on her in another way because Elkanah also had another wife who, meanwhile, while Hannah struggled, she gave birth, this other wife gave birth to many sons and many daughters. And though Hannah was loved and cared for by Elkanah, this burdened her like it has so many women in our families and churches, and it even stung and felt more raw because Peninnah, the other wife, would insult Hannah and ridicule her for her infertility. How cruel. Hannah would go then, as we hear in the first chapter of Samuel, would go to Shiloh, where the temple of the Lord was, and she would go there to the doorpost of the temple, fall down on her knees and weep, crying out to God in her suffering. And sometimes she was in a place where there were no words that would come, just groans and sadness. Finally, old Eli, one of the last priests and the last few people with any ability to hear God's voice in that difficult time, heard her. First, he thought she was drunk, she was out of her mind. But when he heard her sorrow and her suffering, he asked that what God would bless her for her honesty, for her strength, for her vulnerability. And praise be to God, God moved in such a way that She conceived a son with her husband and dedicated that child to God's service. So, overcome with joy and celebration, in chapter 2, where we pick up, Hannah launches into a prayer of protest and praise. And what is remarkable about this prayer is that it comes from her own language and her own experience. She says, "My heart exalts in the Lord. My strength is exalted in my God. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in my victory." These are her words of triumph, flowing with joy and passion for what God has done for her. In response to God's goodness, she exalts God as Lord of all. "There is no rock like our God," she cries. From her personal experience, she speaks of how God has lifted up those like her, mothers who are struggling with infertility, those who are poor, those who are hungry. She prays to affirm how God will reverse the fortunes and situations of this world and for folks like her. Those who laughed and teased will find themselves facing judgment, going away empty with nothing in their pockets. In particular, her prayer pokes right back at that other wife who laughed and insulted and ridiculed her. And in her prayer, she says, God will bless the one who struggled with infertility with many children, and the one who had many children will be silent and empty. Her prayer affirms that God is on the move, with so many action verbs that make clear that the God we serve is not passive. Our God kills and brings to life. Our God brings down and raises up. Our God makes poor and makes the rich. Our God brings low and lifts up and exalts. Our God is bringing justice to a world that isn't broken, but simply unfinished. Her prayer peaks with just a single word, "The Lord!" exclamation point. Or in Hebrew, Yahweh, God's name. That's it. What an expression, right? God. How many of us have ever prayed where we just said, God? Sometimes that is all you need to say. Is it simply awe? Is it majesty? Is it spoken from respect and further knowing personally how the Creator of life knows her, heard her prayers, and blessed her in such a way? Episcopal priest Rick Morley on his blog reflects on Hannah's prayer and says, "We too often make prayer to be something that is dour and zapped of power and thrill. Ask someone to offer the prayer before a meal, and all of a sudden, the room gets quiet. People who are laughing and talking are shot looks that could kill. And out of the blue, people start talking in broken Elizabethan English with those these and thous and everything. Instead, we should take our cue from Hannah, speaking to a God who she knows, loves her, and shares her burden." He goes on to say, "Because the relationship that we're offered with God is a real one, a genuine relationship. The God who made the heavens and the earth wants to know us and wants us to know him. And when we're excited, we're to gush out like Hannah, breaking out into song. And when things are falling apart, we're to gush out at Hannah, out like Hannah at Shiloh, at the temple doorposts." What would happen, friends, if we prayed a little bit more like Hannah in this new year? What would happen if people heard us pray in our language, our preferred language, from our own perspective, shaped from our own experiences, from our culture, and our understanding of God? Whether we are black or brown, immigrant or indigenous, trans, gay or straight, young or old, beginning in our spiritual journey or pursuing Jesus for many, many years. There's something divine in who we are. That's what Genesis says, the first book of the Bible, that we are all created in God's image. And therefore, there is something divine and beautiful that comes out of how we experience the world and how we experience God. What if we claimed that voice, our own voice, as divine and shared it even more with a hurting world? Hannah's prayer affirms that our experience of God is sacred. And the words we offer, even if they are not filled with these and thous, even if they are rough and half-formed, even as they ask for justice to be made real in a world that seems resistant to justice being made real, our words can drip with the very presence, the very Spirit of God. How can God use us? Just like God used Hannah to bring about restoration and wholeness to a fragmented world. Because just as Hannah's prayer hints, through her child would come a leader, a king to guide God's wayward people back to the fold, so too may our words help guide a nation that is unfinished, that is seeking justice and wholeness and a change from our broken cycles that have kept us divided and apart for so long. So now here is where I pause and I ask you to do like Hannah and think back to a moment in your life when God was so marvelously good to you. Maybe it was the moment of your baptism. Maybe it was the birth of a child. Maybe it was waking up after surgery or waking up alive after a terrible, tragic event. Maybe it was being blessed by a mentor or a friend or even given an opportunity that you had prayed a long time for to come. Maybe it was simply an experience of being loved or an affirmation that you are not alone. Maybe it was a moment where God blessed you for simply naming who you are, who God created you to be. Did you pray like Hannah after that experience? Maybe it's not too late to pray, thinking back to that experience. Maybe today is a good day to go back to that moment and write your prayer of praise and protest in your own words, celebrating what God had done and celebrating what that means for our unfinished world and our hurting lives. So in the next few moments in our worship time, as music softly plays and we have these beautiful scenes of nature on our screen, I want you to take your notebook and pencil and write the prayer that comes to your heart as you sit back in that place of joy and wonder. Even if it also brings up grief and pain, even if you still long for justice to be done, even if the words don't come easily. And then later, if you feel comfortable, you can post it on Facebook for others to see this creation of yours, your own version of Hannah's prayer. Or you can share it with me, your pastor, to reflect on together or someone else, or simply treasure it as a gift of your own, a gift you offer to God. But most importantly, pray in your language, pray like Hannah. Pray with passion. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together.